Hey Titans fans, join us next Tuesday, October 24th at 7:30 p.m. Central Time when your Titan-sized podcast crew will be doing a live all-time Titans mock draft. We will be choosing from among the best Titans to ever play, and we will be constructing rosters with those players. Join us on Blog Talk Radio again on Tuesday, October 24th, live at 7:30 p.m. Central Time.
Welcome to the Titan Sized Podcast. I'm Luke Worsham, joined by the other two hosts of the Titan Sized Podcast, Matias Wadner and Will Lomas. We've got a lot to talk about today, and we're just going to hop right in because on Monday night, we're a couple days late because we had some schedule conflicts, but we don't care because the Titans beat the Colts on Monday Night Football for the first time in 6 years. It was very fun.
It was fun. It was very relieving. And I'm just glad we beat the Colts. I don't care if Andrew Luck wasn't back there. If that streak would have kept going against Jacoby Brissett, and it looked like it was, judging by our first half, but thankfully we got it together, and we had a really good team performance by the end of the game. So I'm pretty excited about it. Hopefully we can beat the Browns this upcoming week and head into the bye week 4-3 and get everyone healthy.
Yeah, I mean, any streak like that, people can say it doesn't hang over their heads, and for 70% of the roster, that may be true, but there's a couple of key starters like Jarrell Casey and Carl Klug and Derek Morgan, guys like that who have never beaten the Colts or who haven't beaten them in 11 games. For them to finally realize it's okay to beat the Colts is huge because, you know, like I said, say what you want, but the psychology behind that is just – you know, relentless. I'm glad to be past that and have that all behind us.
Mm-hmm.
A big key why they were able to win this game was a performance from quarterback Marcus Mariota, who was not at 100%, that after the game, voice of the Titans Mike Keith called McNarian. I mean, he played from the pocket the whole game. He's usually a guy who goes through his reads and then tries to make something happen with his legs. That clearly wasn't there. The one time that he left the pocket, he slid behind the line of scrimmage, and that counted as a sack. But he was able to win the game from the pocket. He was throwing darts, specifically to Eric Decker, who we'll talk a little bit more about in a minute. What a performance from Marcus Mariota, because after he was injured against the Dolphins, you heard the chirps about, oh, he's fragile. Well, he missed one game, so I don't know that that necessarily means you're fragile. Oh, he's a bust. We needed Wentz. We needed Colin Kaepernick. All this negativity starts pouring in. And then what does he do, Titans fans? He comes in and he wins you your first game against the Colts in 6 years. Shut up about Marcus Mariota. He is fine.
Yeah, I should shut up as well because I was getting a little nervous when he got injured again with the hamstring injury. And just I was just feeling like we couldn't catch. The fact that we can't count on him for 6 years.
By the way, I'd appreciate your prayers. I'm currently day-to-day also with a hamstring injury.
Correct, yes. He backed up into a person. A real person. No, I'm kidding. It was a car. It was a car.
I don't know anything about this. Do not include me in this lawsuit.
There's a backstory there.
Well, anyway, Marcus Mariota, still clearly a little bit hampered by that hamstring injury, but what a performance by him to just gut it out. Clearly was limited, and according to John Gruden, this was the only game he's ever played from inside the pocket because John Gruden just has never seen a game.
Because John Gruden has never watched
Mariota.
The Titans in his life.
Yeah. Clearly has it. All Marcus Mariota does in any single game is stay in the pocket, go through his reads, and if nothing is there, he scrambles.
Who wanted Kaepernick saying that the Titans run a read option offense? Titans don't run a read option offense.
No.
They run the ball with read option looks. Like, and even in the Monday night game, I tweeted this, they used him as a decoy a lot. Like, he would hold it until the last. He wasn't keeping the ball. There was no way he was going to keep the ball, but He's not a read option quarterback. He's not RG3.
Yeah, and he was killing it last night.
Yeah, and it's not like he couldn't be. Like, he could be a read option quarterback. He could be a spread quarterback. He could do iPhone. I mean, after the Monday night game, I don't know how anybody can argue that he could be in any offense in the NFL and thrive. I mean, he didn't use his legs once. The one time he thought about using his legs and could have just thrown it out of bounds, he immediately remembered what his coaches said and slid, even though he lost a yard, just because he wanted to stay within the parameters of the offense they structured for him. I mean, he hit passes on all levels. He should have had another 30-plus yard catch from Delanie Walker that hit him in the hands on the sideline that Walker just couldn't come up with. I mean, I don't know what more you could want from Mariota. I mean, at this point in his career, he's shown us time and time again that just about the time when everybody doubts him, like last year after the first few games, he gets fully settled into the offense and gets all the chemistry he needs with his wide receivers, and then he's just on another level. I mean, he showed to me, I've always been a Mariota supporter, so I'm fairly biased, but, you know, I'm not sure how many young quarterbacks in the NFL I would take above him, and there's only a few that are even on his level to me. So, yeah, I mean, great game from Mariota. Did it with one leg and restrictions on the offense and without a really strong running game in the first three quarters, too. So, I mean, give him all the credit in the world.
Yeah, fourth highest yardage total of his career on one leg, and he couldn't move. So that's how good Marcus Mariota is. And the pick six really was not his fault. So let's not put the blame on him for that. That was a fantastic play by
John Simon.
By a good player, John Simon. Yeah,
yeah.
That DeMarco Murray should have kind of gotten in his face.
It's weird, whatever. Like. So the pass protection, just real quick on this, pass protection for a running back in that situation is to come up and strike the guy so he's not really sure what's going on and he can't just sit back there and pick that ball because there was a route designed to go right behind him if he went too far upfield. What DeMarco Murray did instead was he played it like a Russian linebacker, which is different. When a linebacker rushes, you're taught to square up and set your feet and then make them move off of you so you can stop their momentum. And he pass set in the wrong way, and that's just one of those miscommunication things that almost never happens with Murray. It was just a freak play, and Simon, for all his credit, snatched the ball out of the air, and in 49-degree weather, he ran it to the end zone, and you know nobody could catch him from that close. But no, that was more of an impressive play from Simon's part than it was anything else.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
A big reason why Mariota was able to have success was the fact that his weapons were working for him all night. Rishard Matthews had another big game. Delanie Walker caught some passes early. And everyone remembers the Taywan Taylor 53-yard touchdown towards the end of the game that ultimately put them in the lead for good. But I think Eric Decker had clearly a breakout game with the Titans, but I tweeted this, and Matthias Hsu sent me this in a message later on. We saw Denver Broncos Eric Decker on the field, who's not just the 6'3 chain mover that's going to stand there and catch a pass and then fall down. Like, we saw him running routes with very sharp breaks, and he was finding the soft spots of the defense. He looked really comfortable, and he watching him on the field, it was like watching the exact same player I watched 4 years ago in the playoffs with the Denver Broncos. And the Titans need that from him. They need him to move the chains. They need him to know where he is and to run those routes that a 29, 30-year-old wide receiver should be able to run. Hasn't done it really up to this point. The performance on Monday, very good, but it's something he certainly needs to build on moving forward.
Mm-hmm. Early in the season, he really wasn't getting much separation. And he just, honestly, he just looked old and slow. But maybe it was just that the Colts defense is just that bad. But Decker was getting open at will in this game.
Wide open the whole game.
Wide open. Yeah, I mean, I haven't seen like all 22 film or whatever. But there was no cornerback within like 5 to 10 yards of him on some of these plays. And he looked really good catching the ball. I think he only had one drop on like a quick slant where I think it was Rashawn Melvin got his hand in there. But, I mean, that was fine. And just more importantly than probably anything else, him and Mariota were just on the same page, something we haven't seen to this point in their careers. And at least maybe I think we saw it in the preseason a little bit, and even in training camp, people were saying that they had good chemistry. So hopefully they can both build on this together.
Yeah, I mean, you're kind of seeing the same thing you saw last year with Rishard Matthews down the stretch, the last, you know, eight games of the season last year. But you're getting it on both sides now. I mean, Mariota is used to precise route running, you know, seven steps and you're here against this look and maybe six and a half against this. You know, that's why Mularkey talks so much about stressing the precision in those routes. And you can tell when Mariota has chemistry with a guy. And very rarely do I, you know, I give Mariota a lot of credit just in general, but so very rarely do I think it's his fault when somebody doesn't get a pass completed, because he always seemingly puts the ball right where he wants it. It's just usually not where the wide receiver ends up. As soon as Rishard Matthews started catching up last year, he was on pace for 1,000 yards. Now that Eric Decker's caught up too, you could really see a balanced offense, especially before Corey Davis comes back, so this week against Cleveland, where, you know, find the matchup, and wherever the defense dictates you throw the ball, you can trust that your receiver is going to be in the right spot, which is huge for Mariota. I don't think he's ever had that before, so that'll be really interesting to watch.
Yeah, this is going to be an interesting week, because this is probably the last week this season that we're going to see Decker as, like, not the main guy, or at least maybe the 1B to Matthews 1A, because Corey Davis is coming back. And Tywan Taylor seems to be getting more involved in the offense. Thank the Lord. we've been saying it forever. But This seems like the week that he can really break out, especially against a defense like the Browns that has just gotten gashed by everyone in their path. So I'm excited to see that.
We'll talk more about the Browns and Jason McCourty
right. In
our preview episode later in the week. So something about the Titans offense that has been kind of an issue all year long is the lack of a running game. And they had a good one really in the second half. It seemed like Murray and Henry were both consistently getting, you know, 4 or 5 yards a carry. And that had a lot to do with the fact that exotics or vanilla Smash Mouth, this is what we've been seeing so far, finally became exotic. But now DeMarco Murray apparently has a hamstring injury. Coach Mularkey said today that he is day-to-day with a hamstring injury. Derrick Henry had the big touchdown at the end of the game. Didn't have a great game other than that run, but that was a really, really good run. What do you guys make of this running back situation? Why do they still, like, I guess they ran the ball well against the Colts, but, you know, they just can't seem to figure it out. It's strange.
Yeah, the run blocking hasn't been as good as it was last year. And the running backs have seemed a little bit unsure of the holes they're supposed to hit, or at least they want to hit. And I think that's contributed a little bit to the kind of slow start. They got it going a little bit against the Colts, but it should be said that the Colts actually are not terrible against the run. Coming into this game, they were actually, I'm pretty sure, in the top half of the league in terms of, like, yards given up per rush attempt. They really haven't been bad. But I thought both DeMarco and Derrick Henry looked good in this game. DeMarco he wasn't breaking off huge chunk runs, but he was picking up 4 or 5 yards, and he was just grinding it out there. And you saw Derrick Henry, when he is in that closer role in the fourth quarter, the defense just can't tackle him. And those short yard runs that look like they're blocked for just 1 or 2 yards, they turn into 4 or 5 yarders. And that's just huge to have in your offense when you're trying to melt the clock away.
Yeah, when Murray and Henry go forward and just don't worry about bouncing anything out. They don't worry about, you know, making the linebacker fill one hole and then, you know, cutting away. When they go straight into the hole that's blocked, there's generally 2 to 3 yards there to be had. Now, they see closing doors and they think it's time to make a play, and sometimes they're right, which is why you can't say stop doing that. You know, it's not Antonio Andrews running the ball. You know, you've got guys with real juice when they get outside, so, you know, you don't want to take all their playmaking ability away from them. But, you know, it's kind of the same thing we've seen a lot of. It's, you know, the first quarter is struggling to find your feet in the running game. Second quarter, you see a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel. Third quarter, stuff really breaks open. And the fourth quarter, Derrick Henry comes in and ends it. I mean, that when the running game is committed to, that's the script. And, you know, something else that is really emphasized when Mariota couldn't run outside the pocket, it's just how well that play action works. I mean, he sells that play action so well and then comes back and sits and makes his reads and just finds the open guy. I mean, whether it was Decker across the middle, I think Taywan's was a play action. I mean, that hard run fake just gets linebackers after you've shown them that we'll run it on first down or second down or third down. You know, once you've shown that you're committed to running the ball and you've got guys who can do it, if they don't respect it, everything else opens up.
Mm-hmm. So something that certainly caught our eyes prior to the game was when the inactives list came out, defensive tackle Sylvester Williams was on it, someone that we don't really like very much. We think he was paid way too much money in free agency when the Titans could have gone after someone like Dontari Poe or Jonathan Hankins and paid just about the same amount of money. He's been incredibly unproductive. He's been basically, I'm going to go say this, he's been worse than Al Woods.
Like, oh, yeah.
Al Woods played at least.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Sylvester Williams, he's literally just there to be there. Like, he's there so that he's there to be the 11th man on the field on first and second down, like to fill up some space.
Yeah.
And so he was inactive, and Austin Johnson took his place as the starting nose tackle. And, Will, I don't know if you had the chance to watch any tape from the game yet. It seemed like Austin Johnson was immediately more impactful than Sylvester Williams. And if that's a change they're okay with, it's one they need to make from now on.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I give a ton of credit to Mike Mularkey and John Robinson, because John Robinson said earlier today in an interview that it was either today or yesterday that he said that he and Mularkey both talk and they have a pretty, you know, not 50-50, but they, you know, he has a lot of input on the active roster. And when you pay a guy a lot of money, it's real easy to say, well, let's keep trying him until he makes a play. Let's keep trying. No, that's not how the Titans are going to play. If you don't make plays when you're given a chance, it doesn't matter if you're a second-round draft pick or a high-priced free agent, you're going on the bench. And you're just not going to play.
Those shots have been fired at Kevin Dodd.
Well, I mean, we've already fired those shots. We've been firing those shots. So, I mean, I would love if that force on the edge would come out and prove us wrong and then just, you know, have a four-sack game against Cleveland. You know, again, it's nothing against Kevin Dodd. If Kevin Dodd comes out and he's healthy and he blows everybody away, there'll be nobody on earth happier than me. We need another pass rusher bad. But on Sylvester Williams, you know, well, it's more on Austin Johnson. Austin Johnson just looks not like Jarrell Casey. He's not that split the guy and make that big play, but he looks like the guy we've always wanted to play next to Casey. He's a good, solid anchor. He works his way down the line. He's a big body. He's 330 pounds, but he works down the line like he's Carl Klug or somebody else. You know, he flows. He never seems like the reason why a play won't work. You know, if they're running outside zone and he's playing in the middle, I trust him to be able to flow and stop the cutback. If they're passing, I expect him to get a decent pass rush and affect, you know, the quarterback's ability to step up. You know, everything you want him to do, he does at a pretty good level for what you'd expect a guy who's really starting for his first year. You know, I think more of that will come in time. I think the line of Jarrell Casey, DaQuan Jones, and Austin Johnson is not a bad line, and I would love it even more if they were in a four-man front where Austin Johnson and DaQuan Jones could rotate at one technique, but we play in the Dick LeBeau 3-4 for this year.
The,
so
Dick LeBeau 3-4.
Yeah, until that changes, that's how they're going to play. But as far as Austin Johnson over Sylvester Williams goes, it's the right call. It's not a call that was made, you know, rashly or for any one reason. It's just slowly throughout the preseason to the first few games to now, Austin Johnson has earned his way in that top spot. And, you know, for a second-round guy, you want the second-round young guy to be the one that wins the job, not the guy you paid a lot of money to who's already in his second contract. So Austin Johnson looks very good.
Yeah.
Yeah. It feels good when the subject of one of your many fan clubs that you're the president of finally gets a chance and shows out. I've been saying Austin Johnson should be starting or at least getting more snaps for a while. And you saw what he could do when he gets them. And like you said, that Johnson, Jones, and Casey defensive line is what we should be going with pretty much every game. Even though the Colts ran with some success in this game, that was a little bit surprising early in the game, at least. But I do think that's the right configuration on the defensive line. And by the way, credit to Dick LeBeau. He kind of got it together in the second half, even though the first half was incredibly painful. And a lot of people probably nearly broke things as we were getting gashed on the ground and giving up just easy 10-yard completions. But he got it together, and I'm glad for that.
Yeah, one last thing about the run game is it takes 7 to stop the run game. So I know a lot of people wanted to blame the defensive line when somebody runs. You've got 7 guys whose main job is to watch their keys. You know, the linebackers, their job is to read the keys on the offensive line and their back and find the ball and go. Defensive line has a huge part in that too. But a lot of people get real mad at Jarrell Casey and DaQuan Jones and Austin Johnson when these big runs up the middle happen. But there's sometimes when they're supposed to be occupying one gap and a linebacker is supposed to be filling another. So, I mean, don't just go ahead and write off, you know, whoever you think's at fault. You know, it's more of a scheme and a whole front 7 unit thing. So, you know, don't use that as an excuse to not like Austin Johnson, because he's doing well.
You mentioned that you're the
Avery Williamson.
Yeah.
Avery Williamson.
We'll talk more about him in a second. You mentioned, Matias, that you're the president of the Austin Johnson fan club. And since we have some time in this episode, I think it'd be nice if we all talked about that one Titans player that we liked way too much for really no reason.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Trey McBride?
That's one that everyone really liked.
Yeah.
He caught.
Hold on,
three passes. Mine is like it's probably Mark Mariani.
Great game.
Oh, we're
great
talking game. Like historic.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh. Okay. Dave Ball. Sometimes. Sorry, I don't know why it took me so much time. Dave Ball is mine. I loved watching Dave Ball play. Yeah, Dave Ball was good, and he like. How long was he a Titan? Like 6 years? I don't know. I mean, it felt like he was on the team forever, and then all of a sudden, he has a 10 sack year. He was on the team from 2008 to 2012. So, I mean.
I have a new guy.
Okay.
It's Bo Schobel.
I don't even know who that is.
Bo Schobel?
Oh my God. Dude, he was in the defensive end in like 04.
God, why don't I remember that?
Okay. Was his name Dave Schobel?
Bo Schobel.
Bo Schobel. He you might know him from his stint with the Florida Tuskers in 2009. But probably not.
Mine was
he earned a Super Bowl ring with the Colts in Super Bowl I don't know, the one they beat the Bears in. Yeah. Roman numerals are tough.
I'm trying to think. We have Dave point. Ball. We have Bo Schobel. And, yeah, I don't know. I'm probably.
Another great one is Craig Stevens.
But Craig Stevens was good.
Everybody. Good. But he was the guy that everybody was like, it's going to be Craig Stevens' year. This is the year for Craig Stevens. Let me look up the most passing yards he ever had in a season, because it's got to be like 12.
But the Titans fans have said the same that thing about everyone. Like Kendall Wright, it was always his year. Chance Warmack, it was always the system's problem.
Craig Stevens' biggest year, he had 275 yards. And he played 16 games, 15, 15, 15, 15, 5, and 16. I mean, he played with the Titans for, like, almost all of the games. And, I mean, I remember him splitting the seam one time a year and getting, like, a 30-yard catch and holding on to it while he was getting a concussion. And, like, I mean, he was a stud. But, like, then again, you say that, and I know if he was another good one is Taylor Thompson. Is that the guy we had who
was the basketball guy?
Yeah.
or defensive like end or
that,
whatever.
Yeah, that that was our you know, our project from Rice, and he was a good defensive end. We should have just kept him at defensive end. But yeah, those are the guys that, you know, that when I really think about it. Although I will say, like,
I've got it. It's Antonio Andrews.
Oh my god,
dude! Oh my Antonio Andrews was. Justin Gage was another one where I really wanted, like, I really thought, like, you got. Oh, and Damian Williams.
I hated Justin Gage.
Sorry. Let me go all the way back. My answer is Damian Williams. That's the correct one. Damian Williams, when he came out, I was like, I'm telling you guys, Damian Williams is good. And he'd have like three catches for like 17 yards. And I'm like, do you see those catches? I'm like, next game. And then he would have like two the next game. I mean, but I would have sworn, I was like, he's going to become a number two wide receiver in this league. You just watch.
Dude,
and then as soon as we
signed
him, I was like,
it's not Bo Schobel.
Okay.
It's Lamont Thompson.
So you're just picking the person you just assume we won't know. So you're trying to say like a fake.
You guys have known Lamont Thompson?
You're going to say a fake.
I have no idea who that is.
You're like, dude, oh, I know mine. It's a Trent Alexander.
He played safety during the worst Titans years, man. The
Are you
worst.
Talking about like the Wisenhunt years? Because I think those
no,
were the
no,
worst
yeah,
Titans
I'm
years.
Yeah, like, I'm like, oh, 2 years ago? The worst.
No, I'm talking like 04 to 06. That bad.
Remember that time we won 5 games in 2 years combined?
Under Ken Wisenhunt.
Terrible time. Yeah. I don't know how bad we were off the top of my head in those years, but I do know we won 5 games in 2 years.
I remember I would turn on the TV and watch the first half and get bored, just turn it off.
Dude, I remember I would be live tweeting the games and I would plead with people. I was like, please watch something else. I was like, you have other options. There's so many different good games you could be watching. Like, I would tweet out the schedules of the other games going on, and I'd be like, it's not too late. Carolina's playing the Eagles on the other channel. You can still save yourself.
Like, I think the game that sticks out the most during the Wisenhunt era is either when the Titans played the Philadelphia Eagles in Philadelphia or when they played the Giants in Nashville. Like, those games were just pathetic.
See,
it was just like we threw a team on the field and we were like, go get them, boys. And then they lost 45-3. And we're like, yeah, we'll get them next time.
The games just
got swear, Mike Munchak wasn't even a bad coach.
I loved Mike Munchak.
Dude, yeah, Mike Munchak was hard to look at because he always looked like somebody had just stabbed him in the arm. Like, he was like, hit that on his face. He was like, "Arr." And I was like, he was trying to be like a pirate, like every other play. And I was like, it was just too much for me. Like, he was just scowling all the time. Like, I don't know.
What was the year we went into New York against the Giants and like, I think we won?
your mind just got out and it sounded like you were all of a sudden, we're no longer a Floridian and we're born in Tennessee. It said the Giants.
Yeah, you stretch it out. I think you were trying to think of the word. Did we beat the Giants? The Giants. Did we beat them?
I think we went we went into the Giants, well, into New York, and I'm pretty sure we beat them.
That was 2010.
I thought Munchak was our coach. Was he not?
I don't know.
Was he?
Oh, you're right. Fisher was the coach. Yeah, we won in New York.
Yeah, no big deal.
Before
Eli.
Or after Vince Young's benching?
Or was it? That was after. Who the hell was our quarterback?
Kerry Collins.
Are you sure?
The Kerry Collins. Or Jake Locker. One of the
no,
two.
It was Vince Young. It was Vince Young.
Oh, okay.
That was the year it all fell apart.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Johnson went off in this game.
Dude, y'all remember when Chris Johnson was amazing? That was crazy.
Yeah.
That was fun.
Also, Javon Ringer, a guy I thought would be really good in the NFL, like, because he had a million yards in college, and then I was like, all he's got to do is have, like, 7 carries a game behind Chris Johnson, and then, like, his arm almost got cut off, like, poor guy.
Do you remember Jamie Harper, the running back that was a mid-round pick?
I do remember Jamie Harper, yeah. He from Clemson, right?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I just remember him being big and always getting goal line carries and people talking about
God,
picking him
sucked.
Up in fantasy.
He sucked.
rounding out our list of, back to what we were talking about, rounding out our list of players who, like, I really like. Like, Colin McCarthy, I thought was going to be a great
linebacker
for the Titans.
He retired after like 4 years.
Dude, that was tough. He was like the proto Borland, like Chris Borland. Like, he was like, I just can't do it anymore. And I was like, what do you mean? I was like, other people are playing and they're dying out here. But respect to him. He was dope. Rusty Smith, the chosen one, who should have, who everybody thought was like, it was like, everybody's like, you don't know everybody on the coaching staff. We've got a star on our roster from Florida.
Oh, I know my guy. It's Rennie Curran.
Oh, okay, that's not a bad one. Like,
that one's
like
new. That one's
two,
new.
4'2" linebacker.
Dude, I loved him in college, and he just sucked in the NFL.
Yeah, if any of y'all are listening to this and we're saying you sucked, we mean in the context of our expectations for you. You're all great people.
Yes. Shout out to Pac-Man Jones. Great person. Great human being.
Yo, Pac-Man's still playing. Like, say what you want, but that man's like going to Pro Bowls at like what must be 45 years old.
Oh, God.
So, moving back to the game, we have a couple more points to hit. First, T.Y. Hilton, 1 catch, 19 yards. He was previously the Titans, like, bugaboo. I hate that word because it sounds so stupid.
You can say kryptonite.
Kryptonite.
Bugaboo.
You know, Superman's bugaboo, kryptonite.
Dick LeBoo.
Bugaboo.
We're just really excited because the Titans beat the Colts.
Yeah, you don't understand what a weight this is off our back. I mean, I'm sure you do, Titans fans listening, but it just, it's that one of those kinds of days.
So why were the Titans able to hold T.Y. Hilton to 1 catch for 19 yards? And I'm guessing the answer is not they let McCain travel with him.
Nah, they were just, whoever they were putting on him, I think it was mostly Logan Ryan or Dory Jackson. Actually, LaShawn Sims was on him a couple of times too. They just played really good coverage on him. I was really surprised. And they played, they weren't playing off coverage on him either. They were playing him tight and weren't letting him get a clean release off the line. Because when he does that, he can just kill you. And he really didn't do anything. His 19 yards, were his lowest output since, November 2nd of 2015. Like, that's pretty crazy. I know it's with Jacoby Brissett and not like Andrew Luck, but that is an incredible job by the Titans defense. A defense that has gotten torched pretty much by receivers to start this season. So good on them, honestly. Good game plan from them just to let other players beat them instead of T.Y. Hilton, who can just break a long one at any moment. So good on Dick LeBeau, and good job by all of the Titans cornerbacks, really, who played a pretty good game, all of them, especially Logan Ryan and Dory Jackson.
Yeah, I mean, before the game, I'm 95% sure that T.Y. Hilton was on pace to be the leading receiver in the NFL. If he wasn't number one, he was number two. I forget what the order was, but he was very high up there. And to hold him to that kind of game, you know, he's been playing. I mean, he's had better games with Tolzien and Jacoby Brissett. You know, it's not a quarterback issue, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. So here's what I saw. I haven't gone back and watched the defensive backs on 22 or anything like that. When I was at the game live, they would move Hilton around some, like they always do, and it was a very clear effort and great job by the LeBeau's defense of communicating between the corners and the safeties. And whenever there was a corner, and whether it was man coverage or zone coverage, that corner who was in front of T.Y. Hilton pointed at T.Y. Hilton or looked back at the safety and communicated with whoever was back deep. And if they had it, you know, if they had it skewed to where it looked like he was going to get single one-on-one right before the snap, they would roll the safety on the other side and drop into a cover two. That part of the defense was not bad. Now, what was bad early was that they were just gashing the Titans on first down, which is why, you know, you couldn't really understand that the game plan was working well for what they intended to stop. Just the other guys weren't making plays, which I think is why when you hear some of the defensive players talk, Wesley Woodyard especially talked about it, In the post game interview, he's, you know, because Mularkey said they made some adjustments on defense, blah, blah, blah. That's not what Woodyard said. Woodyard said, we didn't really make that many adjustments. We just played better and got back to what we were supposed to do. So what that tells me is the game plan the whole time was roll extra coverage to Hilton, make him beat you with Jack Doyle and whoever else they've got on their team receiving the ball, and then, you know, focus on the run game. And if you can stop the run game and don't give up those big chunk plays, you'll put him in positions where Jacoby Brissett has to beat you with guys other than Hilton. And LeBeau basically said, and in that point, I think our guys can beat their guys. And he was right. So once the run game got stopped, and, you know, I give LeBeau a ton of credit for that halftime adjustment, whatever he did with the front seven, because that worked. But, you know, that was great. There was a lack of pressure that, you know, I'm sure we'll talk about more and more, and I'm sure it'll hurt us really bad in one of these games. But for that night, everything worked out the way it was supposed to.
I mean, what changed in the second half was that we blitzed like a crazy amount.
Like crazy.
Which, it's not sustainable, but...
And let's talk a little bit about that, the pass rush, because we've critiqued Dick LeBeau to no end, and... It's kind of deserving, because we were talking a little bit about the before we started recording about how sometimes on third down, not only was Brian Arakpo being dropped into coverage, sometimes he wasn't even on the field. It's crazy that Arakpo, Casey, and Morgan, who last year were one of the best pass rushing trios, I'd say probably in the NFL, are doing nothing.
Yeah. To be fair, in this game, they came pretty close to like 3 or 4 sacks, maybe. But Brissett made a couple good plays in order to escape or get the ball off or something like that. But we have 8 sacks right now. That is third worst in the league, and that is just honestly, it's kind of unacceptable. Jacksonville is 23. That's 15 more sacks than us, which is just a Right, Jacksonville. If only we could be Jacksonville. They had more sacks. They had more sacks in one game than we had.
Than we have so far this season.
This whole season.
Yep.
Which is just ridiculous. I don't know how that happens, but I think one fix could be to not play all of our pass rushers standing up. I don't understand what that schematic touches, but
Greg McGinnis loves that, by the way. He's McGinnis talks about it sometimes. He's like, that amoeba defense, it really confuses people, when it really doesn't. It just confuses the defense.
Yeah, and I think Kevin Dodd needs more opportunities.
Well, he is a force.
Yeah, force to be reckoned with.
Around the corner. Yeah.
As Mularkey said, he's a force to be. You know, but, okay, so let's talk about the defense real quick. We give Dick LeBeau a lot of crap, and he had a good game plan. They're still the 31st defense in the NFL in points allowed. They're the only person worse than them right now is the Colts. So I'm not 100% ready to just take back all my criticism. And this is one of the big parts of it. The fact that you can't scheme a good interior rush and you just let guys step up into a pocket, it is horrifying. I mean, like, if teams would do that to us with Mariota, he'd pass for a million. I mean, he would legitimately pass for 4,000 yards. It's so easy to work that if you've got a quarterback who can progress through their reads, if you're not willing to send pressure and you don't know how to scheme it to get home. So that is something that needs to be fixed badly. And I've said it, and I'm sure people will make fun of it or whatever, but I think the Titans should make a serious effort to trade for James Harrison from Pittsburgh, because he has experience with Dick LeBeau. He's very close to LeBeau. He almost came to the Titans in free agency a few years ago, and everybody says, well, why would you want a 40-year-old pass rusher or whatever? Well, they said that when he was 36, and then he would get 6 sacks, 7 sacks, 8 sacks a year. Then they said that when he was 38, and he did the same thing. He's still a very productive pass rusher even now, but it's to the point where the Steelers have drafted J.J. Watt's little brother, who looks good. They've got Bud Dupree. They've got guys that are filling out their roster to the point where Harrison's not even active on every game day, because they just have too many players, young players, to play. So if they don't need him and the Titans desperately need pass rush and they have the same scheme, it seems like it'd make a lot of sense to go out and get him.
Hmm. That would be interesting. I think Dick LeBeau is in a little bit of a pickle because he can't just blitz everyone on every play. That's just impossible because players can't do that for 60 minutes. But I think he kind of has to change some of the ways he does things because he only plays like true tight man coverage when he's blitzing. And when he's not blitzing, he's just playing these soft zones or playing completely off the receivers. And any quarterback can see that. And they're just going to take their 7 or 8 yards or even 10 yards that you're giving them. And they're going to pick you apart. So he's got to be better. Like, I mean, I give him credit for his game plan in the second half of this game. But the first half of that game still happened where Jacoby Brissett looked like the greatest quarterback of all time. And he actually should have had 2 touchdowns because Dante Moncrief dropped one of them. So it could have been even worse. So I don't know. I'm still skeptical about Dick LeBeau for the rest of the season. But anyone who says that it's the talent level on the defense that's the problem, I completely disagree. Because we have a lot of really talented players, both in the front seven and the secondary. And also, if you're saying that Logan Ryan has been a bust free agent, I don't know what games you're watching because he's been fantastic to start this season.
Yeah, I mean, Adoree Jackson, Logan Ryan, and Kevin Byard may be the best combination of three defensive backs we've had in the last 8 years, 10 years. I mean, yeah. They are very good, and they're all very young. So, I mean, that part of the team looks really good. This is the last thing I'm going to say on Dick LeBeau's defense is I think he prioritizes things backwards. His goal is to get you into third down so he can drop into coverage. If his goal was to, you know, drop into coverage and play back until you get people into second down and then start sending pressure instead of easing back the pressure when you get to third down, I think his defenses would look a lot better. But the way he played in the first half was get him in a third down and make him make a quote-unquote tough completion, and then he drops his guys into zones and gives up the easy catch. So, you know, they just find, you know, the route against the linebacker, and they just attack that, and they have all day to find that. So, yeah, I think he prioritizes things backwards. I'm hoping after this Cleveland game and the bye week comes, they can make some real serious changes, but that's the last thing I'm going to say on that.
Mm-hmm.
So quickly, as we close out, we have a couple minutes to talk. We're going to play 2 games in a row. First question, we're going to play Would You Rather? And the second game is going to be Name That Game. So 2 games. The Would You Rather game, you're going to be answering the question, would you rather play Avery Williamson on a third down against a tight end or drink an entire bottle of ketchup?
And ketchup.
Ketchup.
Yeah,
cool.
Pretty.
I thought you were gonna say bleach.
Give me the ketchup.
I thought you were gonna say bleach, and I was like, ooh.
I'll do it right now if he sits the whole game.
if you can let me have play call on third down and let me decide the personnel, I'll drink ketchup on every third down. Just pour me a shot and let me go.
In the second game that we're gonna play, the Titans lost to the Colts 11 times in a row. It's over, but it was very painful. I did a column on it the other day where I had to kind of relive some of those games. So let's each pick our most memorable game from that streak. It can be memorable for a bad reason or like, man, I thought this was going to be the time. Mine is one of the more recent ones in 2015. It was actually New Year's 2016. Mariota was out. Mettenberger played. Tanny played. And the Titans were unable to defeat the quarterback duo of Josh Freeman and Ryan Lindley, who had been with the Colts for less than a week.
Oh, that is terrible.
That is a pretty good one. Mine is when Donald Brown took a carry 80 yards when all we needed was a stop to actually beat the Colts, but we couldn't do it because we couldn't stop Donald Brown.
I remember how everyone always talked about how Donald Brown had the stuff to be a starter. He was just kept on the bench by Joseph Addai.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, of course. Even though Donald Brown is only famous for that clip where Peyton Manning's saying, "Damn it, Donald."
Oh, man. I mean, mine is pretty obviously the Vic Ballard corkscrew touchdown, where it like where it was that play you knew as soon as it happened, you were praying that he was down or that he stepped out or that somebody held because you knew you'd see it over and over and over. And guess what? You did. You saw it over and over and over again. I mean, they said it was the play where he was in the Matrix and he was untouchable and this was his, you know,
transcendent. It won NFL.com's play of the year, I remember that year.
That is correct.
Are you serious?
It was that big. I mean, the game where you think, okay, it's overtime. We've really got a chance. And if I'm not mistaken, don't quote me on this. This was the Jerry Gray defensive coordinator year, and I believe we only had 10 guys on the field. I think I remember that
in
retrospect.
Of course, they only had 10 guys on the field.
It was one of the most, like, when I heard that, that was one of the first times I remember feeling like actually sick at a game.
Some research to write the column, I found out that on that drive, the Colts, it was a touchback, so they started at the 20, and they ended up scoring a touchdown on like a 4-yard screen to Vic Ballard. That was one of two passes Andrew Luck threw on that drive. The other was a 20-yarder to Reggie Wayne. The rest of the 60 yards were running the football.
I'm watching the Vic Ballard touchdown, and it's pretty amazing.
Yeah, it's great. I don't know how you don't have it playing in your head. I watch it every night when I have a nightmare. It just plays behind my eyelids. It haunts me to this day.
I don't know what the defense was doing, man.
It may be the play that I remember like most that sticks out to me. Like when I think of like what would be the worst thing that happened on this third down, and then it's just that over and over and over in my head.
I think we gave up like a 3rd and 17 one time to Philip Rivers, and I think I lost my mind.
I had to be checked into an institution for a week.
That's going to do it for us today. Hopefully the Titans will somehow beat the Colts before our next episode so that we can be this excited. We'll be back later in the week to preview the Titans' upcoming matchup against the Super Bowl, reigning Super Bowl champion, AFC powerhouse Cleveland Browns. Until then, thank you for listening to the Titan Size Podcast. For Matthias Wadner, Will Lomas, we will talk to everybody later in the week.